This is a Strevel podcast, which is a platform for women with disabilities in East Africa and small developing island states to highlight their experiences, challenges, and opportunities for strengthening their voice to actively participate in climate change policy and negotiations. Hi, my name is Susan Grace, and welcome to where we discuss matters climate change and inclusivity. Today's focus being on women being on the front lines. How is it like there, and how did they get to those positions where they're clearly vocalizing their concerns when it comes to matters climate change? Our sign language interpreter today is Zach Kitau, who is also taking part in this matters of inclusivity. I have an amazing panel that is joining me today. I will give the ladies an opportunity to introduce themselves and they can tell us what they do. I'm going to start with you, Dorcas.
Thank you for this opportunity to be in the studio. I'm called Chelaine Dorcas. I am from Uganda. I work with National Women with Disability in Uganda, where we are emphasizing to support the women's in local villages.
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Lucy Mulombi. I am identified as a woman with a physical disability. I come from Kakamega County, popularly known as the Green Jewel. I am a strong advocate for the rights of women and girls with disability. I am also the chair of Kenya Network for Women and Girls with Disability, where our business is inclusion in all spheres. Excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Lucy.
Thank you. My name is Veronica Ndetu. I'm a climate change and agriculture expert, formerly having worked with the Minister of Agriculture as a climate change coordinator. And part of the things that we were doing in inclusivity and still do the Climate Smart Agriculture Mode Stakeholder Platform, consisting of different organizations that spearhead climate change action in the agriculture sector. And one of the thematic areas has to do with inclusivity, ensuring that no one is left behind, but everybody is included. Currently, I run an NGO called Adapt Kenya that is also looking at adaptation of communities to climate change. And so I'm still a member of the multi-stakeholder platform for climate smart agriculture. And so we drive the issues of inclusivity in matters climate change.
All right. I'm looking at a situation here in Kenya, and I think I was asking you earlier, do you feel like this is a gap that is yet to be filled fully?
Yes, I think there is still a big gap that needs to be addressed, because based on the issues and the forums and the activities that happen in the space of climate change, I still have not seen much as a lot of us are doing things to do with inclusivity. There's still not much that has been done. There are a lot of initiatives that address climate change. But when you attend the forums, when you go to the places where people are involved, you will either meet one person, and that even that one person is not could be assumed to be representing all the women with the disabilities. But how inclusive that is, again, is a challenge, because you don't know even who facilitates them to reach to the others so that they can then bring their needs and bring the issues that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So that gap is still existing and it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I see Lucy shaking her head. She's like, yeah. Nothing but the truth.
It's very true. Uh-huh. Yeah, I just want to pick from what Veronica has said, that many a times I've been invited in spaces to talk about issues of climate change, basically representing persons with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the room, you find you are alone. What does that mean? It means that it's only a one woman with disability who has been picked upon to represent the many other women with disabilities. We all know that change does not come in a lone voice. Change cannot be brought by two or five people at a table. Change needs to be brought by massives. Let us join hands and really push for issues of women with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So inclusion is not about me. Inclusion is not about you. But inclusion is about all of us, pushing for the voice of the women with disabilities that has always been excluded in climate change issues to be there, present.
Dorcas, but now how do we empower these women to feel confident to come forward to these tables?
Yeah, through leadership. The moment the government supports the women with disability and train them in their capacity building on their roles of leadership, that's where that voice come up through from down, bottom. Uh-huh. Yes? Mm-hmm. And then when they come together, that voice will be one and they will be heard from others, other countries, other districts, mm-hmm. other counties, so that even those ones who are down, they will know there is people who are helping them up. Mm-hmm. Without them, they will be there. They will be destroyed with the flood. No voice to be
heard.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me come to Veronica. What do you think are some of the challenges we need to urgently attend to when it comes to inclusion of matters, climate change?
I think the issues are about bringing them to the table. There is the issue of, like has mentioned, looking at only people when they are affected by a disaster. That's when we start now running around and looking at, oh, who was affected, and then we bring it. But then you see issues of climate change need to be addressed not just when a disaster strikes, because climate change is impacting on us all the time. And so there is need to plan issues of adaptation. There is issues that they need to look at how likely are these people to be impacted or to be affected if a disaster strikes. There are also things that are not disasters, but they are impacts of climate change. So like if, like we always say, droughts continue happening, and so productivity in agriculture decreases. There are some technologies that can be used by some of the people with disabilities. So are they accessible? Are those technologies available? There is what has been said, the capacity of them to be able to understand, this is what I need to do, because I don't have to sit and wait. But if they are not given that knowledge in terms of them being able to understand what they need to do in case they see things happening like that. There are issues to do with also climate information. How much is climate information reaching women with disabilities? Yes. For example, if I don't hear, the information in most cases, when you look at people who disseminate climate information, they'll tell you that we put it on radio. We put it on SMS in phones. Does it consider that there's somebody who can't read? Does it consider there's somebody who cannot hear? So we need to look at the different perspectives of disabilities and be able to have climate information reaching them in the various methods it can reach them. And also now giving them information on what they need to do in case they perceive that this climate maybe risk is coming. So there's a lot to be done in terms of planning, in terms of implementation, and in terms of then bringing them to the table to be able to articulate their own issues the best way they know them, because they are the ones that understand how it affects them, and they are the best placed to actually bring it to the fore and recommend what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. I think most people associate information and education. I probably wasn't, life didn't favor me enough to get an education. So do I still have a chance to come on this table and bring my suggestions and participate in climate change negotiations?
And that is a problem a challenge that has really been affecting women, especially from the rural areas where I come from, that we still have so many women who didn't get that quality education. And this has really impacted on their self-esteem. And, you know, once a woman loses her self-esteem, then the same woman is not able actually to articulate that issues that are affecting her. And this now causes a lot of discrimination and because of this discrimination, then you'll find this woman will really be left out. So what we are currently doing in Kakamega, where I come from, where I'm the chair of the organizations for persons with disabilities, we say that now that this woman has already missed out on education, she cannot just be left out like that. We still have sensitization meetings. We create awareness on issues around climate change so that they are able to articulate their issues even in our local languages. Mm-hmm. We also involve the local medias, where this woman can also just speak in a language that she can actually express herself more, and even to the service providers, the MCS, and there are times we even ensure that they attend the chief's barazas. And because in the chief's barazas, we speak mother tongue, we don't speak English, we don't speak Swahili. And from these chief's barazas, that is where the government policies are exposed to wananchi. Even from these chief's barazas, that is where now we get representatives from various committees. So we really take advantage of the available opportunities right from the grassroots to ensure that no woman is being left behind.
Left behind, yeah. Yeah. I love that. And you know, we're doing this podcast, having this discussion, so that we can... Yes, you
want to tell something? The challenge is really, for me, I am a disabled, physical disability. I got accident in mining gold. So, how climate change destroyed me after the accident. You see, I was using wheelchair. Sometimes they can leave me at home alone. Mm-hmm. Other children can go and play and you remain. So I wanted to pick something from the top of the house. I sat in the wheelchair. So I got another accident. Okay, yeah. So the challenge we have, especially in education and also in the leadership, one, in education, through this climate change, I was using a wheelchair. When it rained, I will not go to school because no one to push me, no one to support me. I stay there. If it rained for 3 weeks, I'm still at home. So in leadership, we have another organization in our place. So I try to say, why can't you put one of the disabled person there to represent our information? You see in the community, that the community say, for you, disability, no one hear about you. It is only elders and youth who are supposed to speak in front of the people. You see that, you lose what to say. So the challenges we have is, if the government can come in and put all the department to be compulsory. Agriculture, disability must be there. In education, disability must be there. We shall be equal in the country. Yes.
I love that. We are living in an era where technology is advancing. Every day we wake up to something new. And now we have social media. And as much as we can sit back and say, oh, the government is not supporting, we don't have enough resources, do you think our phones are what we can use to pass information when it comes to matters climate change? If it's maybe sign language, is it possible that I can just do a video with sign language and I've already communicated? Do you think that social media is a powerful tool?
Yes, I trust that social media is a powerful tool. But it needs to be all those apps that can support the different disabilities be included. But then there is the other challenge that the women with disabilities, majority of them do not have the economic power. Like you will not find them with a smartphone that can have the apps. You will... If they are lucky to have phones, it's the smartphone we call the kabambe, the one that will only be for listening and for calling. So then it needs, then there has to be really an affirmative action to ensure that this information, for those that are lucky to be able to participate in social media, then we ensure that there are apps that ensure, like, if it is somebody who is maybe not able to see, but they can hear, and that app can be set to ensure that they can hear that information. Then those that can have, if the phones can have brailles, that is okay, so that they can be able to do that. So I agree, yes, social media needs to be supported to help those who it can, but at the same time, there has to be this very affirmative action to ensure that the different circles, the different social circles, all of them are able to support the persons with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
so that they can access information from the various sources that other normal people are able to.
What we are really advocating for is meaningful participation of women with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And how can women with disability fully engage, meaningfully engage? Let us understand the barriers that hinder them from effective participation. For example, me, if you invite me in a meeting and it's upstairs, then be assured that I won't attend that meeting. Yeah. Maybe I'll just call for the participants list and I sign and I go back. Mm-hmm. Maybe have some juice, some lunch and go back.
Mm-hmm.
If you invite a woman who is deaf for a meeting and you don't ensure that a sign language interpreter is there, then there's nothing that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we engage the women whom we want to fully represent us, let us also go an extra mile of ensuring that their capacities are improved. Let us ensure that they gain the tools, they are equipped with the tools to really participate in climate change debates. Because if we don't do that, then at the end of the day, we shall still complain that the women are at the planning table, but we are seeing no fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, you know, though she's saying, you invite me for a meeting, it's on the sixth floor, there's no lift. At that moment, do I just stand back and go home, or do I say, hey, listen, you guys need to do better, you need to look into this, into that? Do we need to be more vocal?
I'm giving my experience. I was called for the meeting in upstairs there. So what I do, I just sit outside. I say, if there's the meeting up there, I will not attend. I sit there until they make sure they will look for means. Yes. Yes, to come down, to look for another room down there. Yes, they come and I sit. I'm now comfortable. That's why they're leaving the women behind. Let me tell you, people think that disability is just, even the brain is a disabled.
Uh-huh.
For us, as women with disability, we are upright. We know everything, the brain. Even if the legs are disabled,
mm-hmm.
but here,
the brain is variable.
We are even more than the physical people.
Mm-hmm.
So the media you are talking,
mm-hmm.
I wish the media will just focus in women with disability and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the media every time talk about the women with disability, we are very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
There is a voice somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear out our problems every time, challenges, achievement, we come out of the disability
department. Especially achievements. I feel like there's always, we highlight the disability part, but then what about the achievements? You know, like she said, we may be incapable physically, but up here, we would surprise you. I love that. Veronica, I'm thinking of a lady who's watching us today. Maybe she's living with disability. And you know, I believe it's easier to be heard when you're at the front as opposed to a backbench. And maybe she's wondering, why should I be on the front line? I'm okay being a backbench. What would you say to that lady?
I will want to tell her that she's not okay. There are many other things she can achieve. Because when you are at the back, I mean, things have never been shared from the back. Even when you go for a forum and you sit at the back, sometimes whatever is being shared can get finished when you are sitting.
It's true.
So you really need to do whatever you can to ensure that you are at the front. Don't feel... like has been said by doctors, don't feel belittled. You are thinking like any other normal person. It is only that you have a disability. And that disability should not be really the one that hinders you from... Even people look normal, they also have their own issues of weakness.
Yeah.
And they still forge ahead and with their weaknesses and go and achieve what they have to achieve. So it is a matter of you getting... going to even forums, it is much as we want to say it's the government, the other people need to make a move towards reaching you, which is a must. But I think it is also necessary for the disabled ladies to seek for information, to reach out to leaderships, force themselves even there to be leaders. I mean, when people are saying that, who wants to do this? You raise up your hand and you want to be able to be part of that. who wants to pray for us, you are also there wanting to pray for us. Because that is how leadership is recognized. Sometimes, many times, leadership is not, you just don't elect you out of nothing. We see your ability. So it's important for them to actually show that ability. You may be good in something and you know it, but you don't want them to see that I'm good in it. Just get out there and show that I'm good in this and let everybody know that I'm good, you are good in it. And that will allow people, that will start making people look at you from a different perspective from which they have been looking at you. And you'll find that you will be raising now the voice of the others that are left behind.
I'm telling that person who is behind that don't look at the other people. Focus on your step. Mm-hmm. For me, I was called as a neck because I was using wheelchair, rolling down, a lot of names, a lot of abuse. But one day, I say, if I have my brain, I have my hand, why can't I make something to attract other people? I start making beats, selling, speaking in public, and then they say, she's a leader. Can you become one of the women leader in the society? Say, it's fine. Even if you don't know that thing, just force yourself.
You will learn on the job.
You will get something from there. Uh-huh. I'm telling disabilities, don't be a beggar every time. They call you in the street, beggar. Nairobi there, you beg. Do something.
You said even something as small as who's going to pray for us. You can always volunteer to pray. For her, it's just finding a talent or a hobby and just make, not a living per se, but just jijenge na hiyo, you know. So it starts, because most people might think, oh, how am I going to become a leader and, you know, be CEOs and directors of this? It starts with those small things from you within your vicinity. Lucy, any parting shots?
In our advocacy journey, every voice counts. Every voice counts. I want to appreciate the organizers of this meeting that have brought us together purposely to form an alliance. This is one kind of alliance that is going to make the voices of women with disabilities central, and also to just to ensure that our issues are now going to be handled from a central part of it. So I'm very much grateful for this gathering, because as we leave this place, We have formed a very, very strong alliance, an alliance that is going to ensure that it's supporting us bring out those issues that have been hindering us to participate in climate change issues. We have experts like my sister here, because for me, even sitting next to Veronica is a plus for me. Because when she's an expert on issues of climate change, she's able to even provide solutions on things that I've just been wondering on how I can handle them.
Thank you so much. This has just been amazing. Disability is not inability. And then also don't be comfortable with being uko nyuma. Come forward and air your concerns and suggestions. There's always room for you. Thank you so much for keeping us company on this episode. My name is Susan Grace. I will see you in the next episode.